Cleveland is reportedly emptying its jail cells, moving inmates out of the city, preparing to keep its courts open till 1 a.m. in anticipation of the Republican National Convention, which starts with a huge welcoming party on Sunday and is expected to see protests during the week. Donald Trump will announce his VP pick tomorrow at 11 a.m. And today his campaign released a list of convention speakers as new polls show the race tightening between Trump and Hillary Clinton after her scolding by the FBI director over her use of emails. So let's jump right in. Let's start this hour with NPR's lead politics editor, Domenico Montanaro. Hi, Domenico.
Hello.
So what do you think of the list? It's got he said it was going to be non-conventional speakers, and it sort of is.
It's certainly unconventional. You don't have a ton of Republican congressmen or leaders, certainly fewer than 2012. You do have a host of them, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Paul Ryan and some of the people that that Donald Trump ran against in the primary, including Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, some senators and others. But you also have this other group of folks, including retired quarterback Tim Tebow, Natalie Gulbis, a professional golfer, two of the Benghazi survivors, a Vegas casino owner, the PayPal founder. So the Trump campaign says this is a cross-section of people facing a variety of different issues in the country and who support Donald Trump.
Well, let's do a little more of the looking at the tea leaves, because people are. And we know, for instance, that some of the candidates, Mike Pence, for instance, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, is not on the list of speakers. Do we make
sense of that?
You notice that,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will read into that. I mean, if you look at the fact that Newt Gingrich is on the list and Chris Christie is on the list, two of the people who are supposed to be finalists along with Mike Pence, then you can conclude by default that Mike Pence is the likely pick to be the vice presidential nominee. Of course, I would just say and caution folks that Donald Trump is known to try to gin up something, mm-hmm. and he said that he wants to surprise people. So who knows? That's where I think the smart money is, and people can look at it and look at Mike Pence as the person, given that he's not on this list. But again, Trump known for head fakes, so let's see.
Well, and let's speculate, because everyone is, and we're going to find out tomorrow. What do you make of, you know, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was in the lead many times, but did he lose points because of his history with Donald Trump's son-in-law, who's, you know, been so close to this campaign, Jared Kushner? 12 years ago, Christie prosecuted Kushner's father, Charles, for making illegal campaign contributions, evading taxes. Very sore tender point. Is it possible that he could be a vice president with that history with the family?
Well, he's certainly been close to Trump during this campaign. That isn't something that's really come up in the course of this campaign. You know, the problem with Chris Christie for Donald Trump is that you're doubling down on two brash Northeasterners. And, you know, in polling, the only people who have a favorable opinion of Chris Christie are Republicans in the Northeast, and that's certainly a small group.
What do you think of the polling that shows such a tight race, especially in swing states?
Well, look, the polling in swing states certainly shows that the FBI investigation, James Comey coming out and kind of thwacking Hillary Clinton, has taken a bite out of her. Now, she's still ahead. She's still probably the favorite in this race. But I think people, as you get closer to an election and get closer to a convention, people put on their blue and red jerseys. And I think you're starting to see some of that.
Yeah. But the Rules Committee is meeting today. Many Republicans who oppose Trump are seeing it as their last chance to find a way to have someone other than Trump at the top of the ticket. What do you think is going to come out of this Rules Committee meeting?
And there are a lot of behind-the-scenes machinations going on right now as we speak. Mm-hmm. And there's a super-secret meeting that's going on between leaders of the, quote, Never Trump movement, who are meeting behind the scenes with RNC leaders like Reince Priebus. Reince Priebus would like to get this all wrapped up and make sure that there isn't some scene on the floor. He's trying to, you know, give some procedural compromise to make them feel good. There's no necessarily, sure shot here that they're going to accept anything like that. And it should be noted that they adjourned earlier this morning because of a printer jam. that printer jam just so happened to coincide with this super secret meeting, however.
Oh, okay. Well, I just before we get just about a minute here, and I just want to touch on the Ruth Bader Ginsburg dust up. This is, yep, of course, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg making very derogatory comments three times about Donald Trump. He's been demanding an apology. Today, she offered that apology. In effect, she said, "I shouldn't have said that."
Yeah, she said that she regrets her ill-advised comments and said that she should be more circumspect. Now, the definition of the word circumspect essentially means that I'll keep my thoughts to myself next time.
Well, but what is
so
that?
She's not apologizing by saying, you know, Donald Trump is qualified to be president. She certainly has expressed her opinion on that.
I know, but what does that say? There are a lot of people who felt that, you know, as other Supreme Court justices have either mouthed, you know, insults or said them behind closed doors and they've leaked out. In other words, they've been known to say them. One sat at the Fox News table at one of those Washington events. You know, people have felt she had the right to say it.
Well, and Antonin Scalia had, you know, gone duck hunting with Dick Cheney, for example. But there usually is at least a veneer in modern Supreme Court times where you don't actually go ahead and say something so you don't appear to have a conflict.
NPR's lead politics editor, Domenico Montanaro, we're going to hear a lot from you over the next several days. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And good news, we've just cleared the paper jam in our printer here at Here and Now.
Well, we can continue.
We can continue.